sure a lot of your listeners can relate to this. I felt like the soul calling, there was something deeper in me that said, you know, I'm not done. I don't want to do this. Like, okay, yes, you have the money, you have the title, you have the power, but I wasn't happy. I was not fulfilled.
Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast, and my guest today is the founder and CEO of CEO Babe, which is Jessica Yarbrough. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me on the show, Michael. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited you're here. So you've been doing some interesting stuff, and I wanted to jump on and talk to you about how you got started and what your entrepreneurial journey is, and we can talk about so many exciting things from there.
Very cool. Let's do it.
So CEO Babe, what is a CEO Babe?
Well, CEO, obviously, a lot of people are in the worker space. They are solopreneurs. They don't have a real business. And what I mean by real business is that you're making consistent money and that you haven't just created another job for yourself, okay, which is what happens. A lot of people want to break free from the 9-to-5, and next thing you know, they're working 70 hours a week for a third of what they made at their corporate job. So becoming the CEO of your company, obviously, is the boss of your business and life, staying in your zone of genius and being able to delegate the things that you don't want to do. The babe part is, you know, sexy, bold, ambitious, brilliant, and empowered. All the core strengths of, you know, an amazing CEO babe life.
I like it. This is like very exciting and must attract a lot of people to chat with you.
People love the brand. I've only had maybe, I think, two people who poo-pooed it in the last year.
Oh, that's called excluding bad people.
Yeah, I was like, that's cool.
Not meant
I understand your viewpoint. Sure. But most people are like, they totally get it and they love it. So they're like, ah, it's such a cool name. So
we were chatting before and you kind of gave me a little bit of your backstory in Reader's Digest version. And so you started really young running businesses.
Yes, 15. Actually 15 or right before I turned 16, I managed my first company. My second company was when I moved to California. I just turned 18. And my third company was at 20.
So I started young, and sometimes I feel like that I should be like way larger than I am because of that. So I can relate to starting stuff early because it was like I always had a business of some sort, right? But, you know, sometimes I think that I got stuck in a way of running stuff. So I'm curious what that experience was. Like, how big was the company that you ran?
So the first three were small businesses. The first one was, it was actually a dance company, okay, a dance studio, and a dance store all in one. So It was really cool. Claudia Foltz, I'm still friends with her, is a master seamstress. And she actually sold the company right before I moved from Charlotte to start her online tutu.com. She owns it to teach people how to, this is back in the day. I mean, this is crazy. It's like the beginning of and her business took off. She's like, I'm not going to run this company anymore. And when I moved to California, it was a boutique store. And then I moved into managing a full-time chiropractic practice. Three doctors.
That's a change.
Hundreds of patients. I did that for 4 years.
How does that happen? You go like, hey, wait, someone needs to run this. It's got to be me.
I don't even know how it happened. They were looking for some admin and I went out in there and I took over their business and turned it around and they loved me.
That's awesome.
Yes. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, I quickly realized, you know, I didn't want to work for anyone. And so the only other job I've had really in the last 17, almost 18 years of my life has been my startup company that I built, which I was sharing with you about. I had a dream when I was in college to build this company. I actually wrote the business plan for it, and I didn't have the funding. Well, shortly after I graduated college, I met the man with the key to monetizing it and the funding. So it was very fortuitous. We built this amazing company, but you know, I was working like a dog. I was burnt out, stressed out, headed for burnout. And honestly, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners can relate to this, I felt like the soul calling. There was something deeper in me that said, you know, I'm not done. I don't want to do this. Like, okay, yes, you have the money, you have the title, you have the power, but I wasn't happy. I was not fulfilled. And all of that led to almost a nervous breakdown, but really what I call a spiritual awakening when I said, I'm out of here.
You were like 22 or?
No, at that age, I was 25.
Oh, 25. Okay.
Yeah. So I was 25.
So I find it really interesting because I mean, like I said, I always had some sort of a business growing up and mm-hmm. always had these ideas and I'd start them and I'm sure people looked sideways at me, but I didn't really pay attention. And like, I remember I was in university too, and I pretty much quit university to start a Bell Mobility dealership. Mm-hmm. But I look back on that and I think a couple of things. One, I think I hit burnout like you did. And for me personally, and I'm curious what it was for you, it was my perspective on success over time.
Mm.
So for me, it was like, oh, in a year, I haven't like destroyed everyone.
Yeah.
What was the thing do you think that kind of like was...
That was the moment?
Yeah.
I think it was a combination of things. I mean, really, I feel like I grew up too fast. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about kids who were flipping burgers or just not even working and in college and just drinking lattes. And I'm sitting there, you know, running businesses and in college full time. Right? Mm. So there was that. There was this like almost desire for me to go out and live a little bit more. And also I had this dream of travel, which is why I spent 4 years traveling the world after that. I was like, wait a minute. There's something deeper. I don't want to just go into the job because I have the education and I'm really good at it. And I could see my path. I could see mm-hmm. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to get to this level and then this level. But what about all those other dreams? Like it was just too happening too fast. And I felt that soul calling. So for me, it was, I think my unhappiness wasn't even a product of necessarily the time success piece. It was the lack of deeper inner fulfillment. Hmm. Because now with my business and I'm aligned, I can roll up my sleeves and dig in and it's nothing, right? Because
I love it
and it's freedom. So even my startup company, you know, I was limited to 3 weeks paid vacation a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I spent 8 weeks traveling the world with my daughter last year. So you already know I already told you how many trips I've got coming up in the next in the next 6 weeks. It's like it's just not part of my it's limiting. I never want to be limited on how often I can travel and when I can travel. And I don't mm-hmm. want to be limited on how much money I can make. So that was all part of it as well.
I guess what I'm hearing is that you are motivated, it sounds like, not to shift gears, but you're motivated, it sounds like, by the freedom aspect of doing your own thing.
100%.
Okay.
100%. And, you know, I don't like to have a boss. I don't like people to tell me what to do. Or what I can do, who I can work with, how I can do anything. And that's what's so cool about being an entrepreneur is you get to choose and you get to self-select and say, you know what, I don't want to work with you. So I'm going to give you to someone else. Like you get to choose who your perfect clients are. And, you know, it's just like when I was running my business from Europe this summer, I can have my calls at 9 o'clock,
right.
Athens and Greece, right? While it's the morning time for my clients in California. And I love that. And I would never be able to do that with a job. I would feel caged, and not everybody feels that way. And I get it. But for me, it's very much the freedom around my income level, like mm-hmm. knowing that I can just go make a bunch of money in the next day is awesome. Not just waiting for my incremental 3-5% raise a year. Like that's never going to work out for me.
So is there ever a point, or was there ever a point where you had like old ideas from what money was and should be versus what you're describing now, which is you have complete money control and freedom to go generate what you need?
Yes, there was a huge shift. When I first started back consulting after that 4 year self-discovery break that I told you about, my self-worth was low. I was like, I'm out of the business game. I don't know anything. And I kind of discredited everything I'd ever done. And also I needed money. So I just took whatever work I could get. And I was doing the whole gradual raising my prices thing, but I was stuck in that trap. I had a ceiling because you only have so much time. And if your prices aren't aligned, if your prices aren't big enough, and if you're trying to do the task-oriented stuff versus the visionary high-level consulting stuff, you really capped your income because there's only one of you. That's right. So I had to make that shift in my mindset and my pricing. And because of that, I can, you know, go and have a $63,000 day versus a few years ago making $63,000 in an entire year.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge shift, right?
So it's interesting because I think our limitations on money are all in our brain, right? Because money isn't
it is.
Obviously. And it's even right. Struggle with it sometimes. It's like you forget what you've done and what you've, you know, you're capable of and what probably your position is when you're doing your own thing. I find it's easy.
Yes.
If you're working for someone else because they're going to tell you what you're worth or what they're willing to pay. And you'd probably disagree with that. Like, but to your point, it's like such an incremental thing. Like it's
right.
Like, you know, it's silly, right? So it's like, well, when there are no limits, how do you not put a limit on? Sometimes you put your own limit on. So I was kind of curious about that. That's
fine. People do it all the time. So I was just meeting with a new client today. We were talking about pricing and you know, whenever you start talking about, or this is what's common yourself, you kind of retract and you're like, oh, I didn't do that great. I'm not that awesome. And I'm like, dude, you built a 7-figure business. Mm-hmm. You have the credibility. And he was like, oh yeah. You know, it's like we do our success and our experience. We're so good at lighting other people up that when it comes to us, we're like, I'm not that awesome. Oh, sure. Just pay me what you want. That doesn't serve anyone. And so really being able to stand in your power and an absolute confidence with the transformation and the results that you bring through your products and services, like your clients need to see that. People follow leaders. They want to see the confidence. And when you can stand behind a product and build an expert authority business based around your products and services, people are happily going to open up their wallets and pay you a ridiculous amount of money. But if you're downplaying and you're staying small, you're not going to serve the world. You're not going to reach those clients and you're never going to have the impact or the income that you really deserve.
So, I mean, your business is really helping people figure out, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, what's my, not, maybe it's, you call it your calling. Like, what do you reference?
I call it your superpower, your edge. So you want to play to your strengths and not try to just do what everybody else is doing because you're like, hey, they're making money. I can do that. Some people are doing that and then their businesses flop. So really honing in on what is your superpower and building a business around the problems that you solve better than anyone else. And leaving everything else to everyone else. That's the first step.
So, you know, it's nice if someone engages you as a, you know, their coach, for lack of better words. I don't know if that's the terminology you use, but.
Consultant more than consultant, coaching. But yeah, okay. People use them interchangeably, I know.
Yeah, I'm sure there's definitions, but I'm bad at those. So, you know, it's great for them because you can pick them up and you can remind them and you can push them. But who's reminding you? Like, is there someone in your life that does that for you or has always done that? Like, how do you Absolutely. Avoid those pitfalls?
Absolutely. So I think if you're going to be in this marathon, it's, you know, of entrepreneurship, you're going to have to continue to up level yourself. So obviously you're going to need education, but not enough to overwhelm you. Like we were talking about earlier, going to a million conferences and not executing. Mm-hmm. You're going to need focus. You're going to need leadership and mentorship, which is why I have a mentor and I'm in a, you know, a mastermind. So I am surrounded by people who are at my same level. Mm-hmm. And are all growing their businesses to 7 figures. So again, I'm surrounding myself with people that are, you know, not down here and not way up there, but right where I'm at. And I have a mentor that's helping us get there. So all of that is part of the process.
Interesting. Okay. So you've invested in your own education and your own, what I think I shared this term with you before, kind of like your own currency, right? It's like your alliances and your allies.
Absolutely. I think I've spent $80,000, $90,000 in the last 2 years.
Wow. So, but totally worth it.
Significant investment in my, in coaching and consulting and done for you services, you know, whatever I needed to level up in whatever area, you need to invest.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. You need someone to kick your butt and get you out of your comfort zone and say, hey, what are you doing?
Right.
Are you giving everything away for free? Like, you need to see, because your mentor can look at you and see what you aren't able to see. And so you need someone to hold up that mirror and be like, you're a genius. Like, this. Look at your gifts. And then help you position your products and services and your messaging so that you're out there and you're credible. And when you get on the phone with a client, you're not selling because they're already enrolled. So you're not going to having to master your sales process and use NLP tactics to try to trick people. You're just right. You're just having conversations and you're the expert and they want to work with you. So it's just a conversation. So really taking a step back and aligning all those areas so that you can build the authority and stand in your power and get those incredible results.
Love it. So I think, you know, there's like this transition thing too, and maybe it's an adjustment for me because I come almost from like a straight up sales background in a lot of ways, or biz dev. And a lot of the, you know, we're producing content, we're sharing mm-hmm. ideas out there. And I guess it's like, at what point, or how, you know, how would you reference someone who's like, they're producing content, but how do they shift to the point where they're making an offer? Like, what's your methodology on that?
Okay, so that's a great point, because a lot of people are like, Jessica, I'm posting 10 times a day on social media and no one is picking up what I'm putting down. Okay, so first, you need to be in your zone of genius. Make sure that your content comes from that zone of genius. So you're not like a life coach and a business coach and talking about mindset and talking about purpose, you know, just all over the map. So very, very clear in your superpower. Okay. You're building credibility because you're going to talk about those things that you do, and that's it. And you're going to write articles. You're going to get on podcasts and talk about it. You're going to get published. You're going to get up and teach. This is something a lot of people are failing to do. They take the Facebook Live, like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm just going to call in and talk. Like, get out your whiteboard and actually teach something, because you want to shift the relationship and even the subconscious of your prospect's mind. So they're not looking at you and saying, hey, Michael's got a cool life. Look at him traveling and he's taking pictures and doing all that stuff. But he's saying, Michael's my mentor. Michael's my teacher, because he's teaching me something. You got to give value. Give your best stuff away for free. Like, they will love you for it, and you will have an inbox full of people ready to work with you. So that's the credibility piece. A lot of people are missing that. You got to have your product pathway program, all of that aligned, so your messaging is sticking. You're positioning it in the right place at the right time. You're selling to the right person. A lot of people are trying to sell to everyone. You sell to this specific person. The fourth one is audience. If you've got 3,000 connections, that's hard. You need to build up your following, and they need to be targeted, and you need to nurture them. So I did a 3-part live series I'll share with your audience, 3-part video series, where I talk about what is my LinkedIn strategy. Mm-hmm. And I never pitch people in message. I never say, hey, thanks for connecting with me. Download my ebook, or you're just in time for my webinar. I never do any of that. I send them to content. Why? I'm separate from 99% of the people out there who instantly pitch them. I build a real relationship. I show LinkedIn that we have a relationship because they click through, and now their LinkedIn's going to show them more of my content. So it's just a win-win. People respond. They're like, this is awesome. How can I get on a call with you? It's a pull marketing, right? So building your audience, monetizing it, and then later you're going to automate to dominate. But really, you got to build your credibility. You got to build your audience, and your messaging has to be right. And then you can post, and like the one I did yesterday, 3,000 plus views. It's like,
wow,
a third of my network saw my post. And the reason why is because I'm not pitching, because I'm leading with value. So I will have people message me and say, Jessica, I keep stalking your profile. And of course, we know that on LinkedIn. You can see these people constantly look on your profile. And so people are coming back, like, I'm watching your feed. Like, these are the messages I get. I got 4 messages yesterday because of the value and because of the alignment with the credibility, the messaging, the product, and the audience.
So are you consciously connecting on LinkedIn with like a funnel or a target? Because we've been doing a lot of LinkedIn targeting where we say, look, this is our ideal audience. We're inviting them to connect. Are you doing that, or are they just kind of finding you?
No, so I do connect with my target market. I just don't ask anything of them.
Got it. It's like
you make connection. I don't ask for their email.
And I think there's so many pitfalls on LinkedIn just because of the culture and what people's expectations are of it historically, that it's interesting to hear that, because I think you can connect for the sake of connecting and nothing will come of it. And right. then like people sending me books about who they are as a not a book, but like, you know, a really ridiculous message.
Yes.
Like, I do this. I got 2,000 characters. I'm going to use them all.
Yes.
And you don't read any of it. So it's like,
you want to keep it short and sweet. You want to, you know, I respond to every single person. Obviously you don't want to just connect and not send anything, because that's just dead weight on your algorithm too.
That makes sense.
Plus you lost the chance of establishing a real relationship with someone. So it is, that's time consuming. And mm-hmm. you know, that's something I have to play catch up on every few days, because I do get so many connection requests. And here's the thing, I don't connect with people who aren't my target market. I mean, I get random people from all over the world. I ignore. It's not about the size, it's the quality of your network, which is really cool. Because another little hack for you guys is, I know that LinkedIn changed the rules with your ability to export, and I'm not ever saying ever to add them to your list. But what I was going to say is, before, you were able to grab those contacts, upload them to Facebook, and run Facebook ads. So now you create that level 6 omnipresence, what I talked about in the automated targeting phase.
Yep.
Yes. Never. Yeah, exactly. But never just add them to your list. That's super icky. It's going to kill your email deliverability. You're going to get blackballed and people are going to hate you. But there's lots of other things that you can do. If you just don't kill your network, don't spam them. Love on them. Treat them like you want to be treated. They're going to be so blown away. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, this person's amazing. They'll love you. And that's how you create that tribe.
I mean, it's interesting to me how much LinkedIn has become that platform where it's actually people, I think, are less and less resistant to anything other than posting their resume up, which I kind of like, you know, like there's got to be that business network. And more importantly, it's like you've cracked part of the formula, it sounds like, where you understand that the culture of LinkedIn, but you're leveraging it for something that maybe traditionally would not be responded to on LinkedIn.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of people out there who are, you know, who are entrepreneurs, who are in B2B, and it's not just job seekers. So LinkedIn's super duper powerful, as you know.
I always laugh when people say that, because I remember I went to this networking event, and I don't carry business cards. I never have for like 7 years.
Yeah, me either.
It's like, well, you don't have a card? I'm like, no, just add me on LinkedIn. It's
there, like, you go. Oh, just find me on social media.
I don't need a job. That was her response. She was like angry. I'm like, oh yeah, we're never talking again.
Yes. Well, find me on, I always say find me on Facebook. So if it's not Facebook, it's LinkedIn. But yeah, social media, absolutely. It's all about connecting. We're human beings. Let's connect. Let's create a relationship and see where it goes from there, right?
Exactly. That makes sense. And I think it's important to like connect beyond just the connection. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes, not just the click.
Right. It's like, it's a conversation. It's got to be a conversation.
It's totally got to be a conversation, and it works. It works beautifully. And that's why my advice to anyone who's watching, who's out there cold pitching or, you know, spamming your audience, like, just pause, just stop. Just stop and get clear, get focused, get your messaging right, and start building your credibility, and take a deep breath, exhale. The sales are going to come, I promise.
You heard it here first. Jessica promises.
Sales are going to come. I promise.
I think there's going to be a meme out of that.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll appear on our... well, listen, I know you've got a lot going on, so I don't want to keep you forever, and I appreciate you jumping on. I really am excited about getting your perspective on things. So just a couple things. Like, what do you got planned for the year? What's your big thing this year?
Well, I have my 2 mastermind events coming up. One is in May 7th and 8th and October 8th and 9th, I believe, that it's going to be in Phoenix. So that's my intimate high-level mastermind. Those are for my private clients. It's going to be amazing. Rent a really nice house, jacuzzi, food, masterminding videos. We're going to be filming brand photos, everything. It's going to be amazing. So that's going to be part of it. That's as far as business. That's my next big thing. I've got trips coming up, going to Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Hawaii.
Those are all fun trips, right? You're going to...
I know. They're fun. They're business. One of them is a business trip. The Hawaii is a business trip, but the rest are pleasure.
Wonderlust.
Yes. And that's it. I've gotten as far as there. I haven't planned the rest of my year yet. So right now everything's just flowing.
I love
it. It's a lot already. Yes. I haven't thought past May.
Okay. So I'm going to wrap up with two things and let you get on with your amazing day.
Okay.
One is, and I think I probably have an idea, but let's ask the question, which is, how are you, Jessica, changing the world?
Definitely, like I mentioned before, is helping people see their value and take the potential that is lying dormant within them and create a wildly successful, wildly profitable business based on their gifts. So that's what I do for my clients.
Love it. That's a great mission. It's a great way to change the world. Okay, so I'm going to wrap with one other thing, which is when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we ask them to nominate other interesting guests to appear on an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. So who would you like to nominate to be on a future episode?
I would love to nominate Chad Thibodeau.
Chad Thibodeau. Okay, I like that. That's a great one.
Yes.
I've been following Chad a little bit. I haven't met him yet. So that's awesome. So Chad,
he's an amazing human being. Yes.
And how do you know Chad?
Chad is actually my coach. So
I would love
to be on your show. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's cool. All right. So Chad, you've been nominated to appear on an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will make that happen. Jessica, I want to thank you for jumping on with me, and I really appreciate your perspective on things.
Of course. Thanks.
How can people find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn.
It's a rhetorical question.
Yes, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram and YouTube.
Awesome.
Look it up, CEO babe, Jessica Yarbrough.
Awesome. All right, well, have an amazing day, and we will talk to you soon. And this has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business.